This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Welcome in to a lovely day for soccer podcasting, or possibly a smoky day for podcasting, that's whichever right. One you're experiencing right now.
It's always a smoky day when we're recording.
Man, there's no smoking in the building. No one said anything about where else
around the building.
No, no one smokes here. Are you kidding me? We can barely stay upright just with the vices we do have.
I can barely watch soccer.
We don't need more vices. Come on. We've got plenty as it is. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Columbus Crew, go figure, on this podcast. We'll get into the big announcement from this week that Columbus had. Also going to talk about a Crew legend who was on the field in South America this week. And it made us think about some things, which is always good because that's what shows are about, right? Radio shows, people think about things.
Thinking about things.
And then we talk about things. And then you listen to us talk about those things. Maybe you enjoy us talking about those things, but... anyway, we have some thoughts on guys who are legends playing in games when they're like 50. So we'll talk about that coming up. Plus much more. Beam, how's your week been other than getting no sleep because you have a little infant that doesn't want to go to bed?
Man, I thought we were through the woods. You know, everything had been good and he was sleeping well and napping great, like an hour and a half here, 2 hours here and through the night and giving me 10 minutes. And then I want to say someone during the Memorial Tournament a couple of weeks ago was talking about, you know, baby William and everything, and hopefully he becomes colicky and doesn't sleep through the night. That seems to actually have reared its head. Now, it's nothing to do with colic, but someone who wished that ill will upon myself and my lovely wife, Meredith. I'm not sure who that would be. I'm not sure who I'm talking about on that front. Maybe you sitting across from me.
Did I do that?
Yeah, because you guys were out at Muirfield and... Tim was like, "Oh, what is Brandon's getting milkshakes, and I'm upset I don't get a milkshake." She's like, "Oh man, he's got an infant. Maybe his baby will get colic, and all of a sudden, like these guys won't be able to sleep."
And so, what should have happened? You should have showed up and got us some milkshakes, buddy, and you wouldn't be going through this. I forgot I said that, but you know what? I stand by it. I actually own that, and I'm proud I said it. You're welcome.
So we got that going for us, which is nice. So it's like every 30 minutes, you know, it's like trying to fall asleep. Meredith and I like knocking off, and then all of a sudden, boom, pacifier falls out. And we're back to screaming, put the pacifier back in, try to calm him down a little bit. But no, man, everything's good. Can't complain at all. How was your week, man?
Oh, it's been good. We went and did a little pick barrel selection for local cantina.
Nice.
Our guys with Man and Bone Show. More details on that to come, but we're going to be basically in their stores later this year, their restaurants. They're going to have a barrel selection that we did that'll be available only at local cantinas. So stay tuned for that. They're not, like, sponsoring this show. I mean, sponsoring other things, but just letting you know that. Also, I guess we should, like, I don't know if we want to talk about it on the air yet, about your Manchester United fan group.
Yeah, I was going to say, Local Cantina already hosts one of the great supporters groups that we have here in Central Ohio, mm-hmm. down in the Brewery District. That's where the Liverpool fans meet up. And McClellan's, I believe, up in Dublin as well.
Yep,
is where they meet up. Yeah, we found ourselves this week without a home. The Columbus Red Devils did as Zaftig shut its doors. The brewery is still open. What they have up on Huntley, they just shut its doors to the restaurant and the tap room down on 4th right there, kind of in the Italian village. So, yeah, we're looking for going over and looking for options. And, I mean, the month starts or the season starts here in like 2 months. So if you have any ideas, please let me know.
No, and that's no joke. If you're like if you're someone who maybe you go to a bar and you're like, man, I've always wanted them to have soccer here. Or maybe you're you're just someone who owns one of these bars that would like to get in touch. Let us know because, we want to see this Manchester United fan group, beleaguered as they are, mm-hmm. have somewhere. I mean, think about all the alcohol you'll sell. That's the selling point for you guys.
Just from American Joe. Let alone me.
Look at all the miserable SOBs in this group that are just sad and desperate about their team. They're going to want to have an alcoholic beverage occasionally. That's all. So I'm just trying to help everybody understand what this will be. So hopefully we can find a home for you guys. So also, I guess we could transition into this. The MLS All-Star Game for next year has a home.
It does.
And it is the home stadium of your Columbus Crew. Lower.com Field and the Columbus Crew announcing that MLS will bring the All-Star Game here next year. So That's awesome. I don't know if people remember the times where we've hosted those before. I want to say one of them was 2004, 2005.
2005.
Oh, it was 2000 and 2005. Yeah. Right. That's right. So 2000, that was just a, that was the first time that we had ever hosted it. And that was an East-West version of the All-Star game. 2005, if I'm not mistaken, that was when the crew played full, or the crew, MLS All-Stars played Fulham. It was one of the first
basically the crew.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the first times that you saw an English Premier League team come over and play against the All-Stars. And that's a trend that's continued since. They played Chelsea. They've played West Ham United. Everton has done this game. Your Manchester United did it back-to-back years, 2010, 2011. I feel like
let's get them back on the schedule.
Well, here's the thing. I'm trying to, you know, go through this. You've had Bayern Munich. You've had Tottenham. You've had Arsenal. Arsenal's coming back again this year to play the All-Stars. Juventus, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, which I know you're begging for. Just please give me some Atletico Madrid brilliance. That's what you want to see.
I would hope that Diego Simeone would be fired. Like, I would wish ill will on him rather than see him in Columbus.
Yeah. So the it's weird how this is why I'm not sure what they're going to do, because a couple years removed.
Yeah. They announced yesterday that there was no announcement that there would be a team TBD.
Okay, good. Because what I'm curious about is they did this thing with other teams coming over up until 2019. Then 2 years or 3 years ago, they had the Liga MX All-Stars play the MLS All-Stars, which is fine.
COVID Cup.
Yeah, right. But they did that again in 2022 as well. And that might have also been because of just travel restrictions from Europe, things like that. Well, this year, though, Arsenal is coming back. And so you do get a Premier League team again coming in to, I think that's being played in D.C.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Audi Field or whatever. So that's good, right? I like the idea from a fan standpoint. Now, we can have the debate, and I long have been frustrated by this as just a viewer of soccer. I don't know that it looks great that you're putting your best team you can put together on the field to go up against a team of guys that are just going to play in the regular season. Maybe not as bad when it's like Manchester City or Arsenal. These are two of the best teams in the league, right? But, you know, when you were having Fulham come over, that's a team that would, you know, fighting to stay up every year. That doesn't necessarily look great.
Right.
But worldwide brand type of teams, if those are going to come in, I guess that's a little bit better. But from a fan standpoint, going to a game, I mean, you will have no problem if they put, you know, an Arsenal-level club at Lord.com Field. This game will sell out instantly. It'll sell out anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, regular season crew games are selling out at this point, but never mind the fact that there's a star power that's going to be involved in that, you would assume, in Lionel Messi.
Oh, God, so. And that was the first thing that I thought of. Like, it was the worst-kept secret in the entire world that the crew were going to be announced that to get this. I think it was, like, on Monday. It's like, hey, Don Garber or Dong Arbor, which, by the way, I think you would very much enjoy. My co-host on the morning show is very much loving that nickname.
Great. That's fantastic. He needs to keep it going.
And I've actually incepted my brain that his name is now Dong Arbor.
Dong Arbor. That's his name.
We talked to Chris Doran this morning on the show, Soccer Podcast Day Thursday, and I literally said to him, like, yeah, so Dong was in town yesterday, and I had to stop myself, like, oh, my God, why did I say that? And I'm like, oh, just whatever, man, just roll into it. I'm like, what did Dong have to say about the city of Columbus and all that good stuff?
Dong, how was Dong with, doing?
Yeah,
how's old Dong?
How's Dong?
How's old bald Dong doing? Yeah, that's good. No, it's, I mean, we knew it was going to happen, but Lionel Messi coming to town.
Yeah.
Not that, again, we've talked about this on the show. Are you going to go out and just break the bank to get tickets? Probably. I could see some people doing it. I probably won't. But there is a chance that, and I think this is what they'll probably try to do, is talk to Barcelona and say, what do you think?
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Like, Lionel Messi's going to be in this game. This is not me breaking any news. I have no inside sources on that. I'm just saying, Manchester United came over 2 years when David Beckham was here.
Yeah.
Kind of made some sense,
right? What
about
PSG?
Hey, that's a nice little consolation prize.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know what I mean? Like, I could see them reaching out to those teams and saying, hey, what are the chances? And if there's like flat no, absolutely not. But there's already, I mean, again, maybe there's some bad blood there between MLS and Barcelona because Barcelona wanted to sign him and the fact they didn't, I don't know. But all these teams want to have a footprint in the U.S. That's why they come over here, not just for their tours. That's why they agree to play in this All-Star game. Yeah. They put their stars out there for 30 minutes.
Well, I think the English soccer teams understand what the U.S. market is to them, and it's helped them grow their bottom dollar by leaps and bounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think there's no doubt that Barcelona, I mean, Barcelona has an academy over here.
Yeah.
They've had one for years. I mean, they're not shy about wanting to get inroads to the U.S., and they are one of the teams. They don't have to do as much as, say, Villarreal or somebody, right? Like, that, you know, those teams needed a little bit more, help to get to that level of knowledge about from the average fan base here in America. But Barcelona still, I don't think, would shy away from a big payday. You know, they need the money. And also the ability to just have something that, you know, gets them again in front of American eyeballs to say, hey, remember us? We're Barcelona. This guy played here. We have lots of great players. You should watch us.
Think about if I were to tell you this, like, in the whole midst of the crew moving down. Like, if I told you this 5 years ago, 4 years ago, when all this was happening, like when the Anthony Precourt was going to come out and be like, hey, we're taking the team to Austin. If I were to told you fast forward to the year 2024 and Lionel Messi is going to be playing in MLS and the All-Star game is going to be here in Columbus in a brand new stadium.
Right. Yeah. You would, like, none of that would have made sense.
Yeah.
It is one of those moments that I think we will have this 20 years from now where we'll be talking about stuff and suddenly be like, can you believe that the crew have won like five championships or whatever, we'll have some moment like that where it's like, this team shouldn't even, everybody said this team was gone. And now we're hosting an All-Star game with Lionel Messi being there. And we're kicking around the idea of, could it be Barcelona or PSG, which I probably won't be.
Can you believe that Wilfried Nancy has led Real Madrid to three straight Champions Leagues and he coached here?
Right. Yes. These are the things that sometimes you just have to pinch yourself and realize, I can't believe that's all happening.
It's such a big thing for the community, man. Like,
huge.
And if you're listening to this podcast, you probably understand the impact that it's going to have on here in the city that we call home and that we love very much. But when we got the news, it was just, that's immediately what I thought back to. It's like Don Garber making the announcement that Columbus deserves this, and then Don Garber a few years ago saying, well, you know, it's in the metrics with the ticket sales, mm-hmm. and look at them, and you can't sell out of place, and we're going to take the team out of the city. So,
well, I think this too. And I don't think it hurts the vibe. They were going to do this anyway, but I don't think it hurts the news cycle that Dong and his minions up at MLS headquarters like to spin. They like narratives, man. As much as I want to say they hate Columbus, and I do think there was, I think Don Garber is in the business of what's the easiest dollar for my owners to make.
Sure.
How do we make money? And who has money? Who's spending money? Mm-hmm. Who's making money for our league? And so when Columbus wasn't doing that to the level he thought they should, he felt like giving up. He felt like it was a sunk cost. Like, let's just cut that loss and move on. Now we are at a point where you've got 10 sellouts before we hit July 4th, which is unprecedented for crew games as far as crew seasons. That's a record for the amount of sellouts they've had in an entire season.
Yeah.
And we're barely into July.
Halfway through.
Yeah. So this is an incredible thing that's going on. Now he comes in and announces an All-Star game in the midst of a sellout streak.
And a good run of form.
And the team's playing well too, which we will talk about next when we come back. But that's what I'm saying is that I think Don Garber just likes narratives. Yeah. And as much as I don't like him personally, I don't think he's got the best. I don't think he's the smartest guy in the world. He can even get behind the fact that Columbus has momentum and why waste a good opportunity to highlight momentum in your league. So that's what he's doing right now. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some of that momentum that the crew have. And one of my favorite players of all time appearing on the field of one of my favorite teams in the world. We'll discuss that when we come back. It's Bone and Beam United right here on The Fan.
I'll just say the most insane goal I have ever seen.
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
You can follow us on Twitter at Bone Beam United if you have not yet done so. You could also, if you are listening to this via podcast, you can just click on whatever thing you're listening on the podcast and hit subscribe or follow or whatever they offer, just so you get every podcast every week. If you don't follow us, just search Bone and Beam United wherever you get podcasts. If you're listening on the radio to this show, and you won't have to wait till the radio plays this, you could just listen to it whenever it comes out, usually a couple days ahead of time. So let's talk about the Columbus Crew's great run of form they're on now. You get the victory over Nashville at home. We talked about this not even a month ago.
Yeah.
When they played Nashville and lost, like, was it 3-1? Because mm-hmm. the crew went up one and then they got smoked in the second half. Yeah. And that was on the road. And it just we said at the time, look, that's Nashville, man. They're a different level than you are. And
it's funny how things can turn around in a month, right?
It is. This is
since that game, the crew have racked up 13 out of 15 available points. And in the month of June, 10 of 12 on the point front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the way you want to hit summer, in my opinion. I mean, you want to hit any month this going this well. But I'm just saying This is the time where you start. And I don't even feel like – I feel like they're playing good soccer. I don't feel like they're playing their best soccer that they're capable of by any stretch. I think they're piecing together some things. They're making some things work. They are finding ways yet again to get goals when they can. And defensively, it's still a patchwork and it's still not where, you know, it needs to be. But hey man, you shut out Nashville.
Yeah.
That's doing something. They have dudes. Hanny Mukhtar is a guy. Like This is one of the best players, if not the best player in the league. So this is big credit to Wilfried Nancy and the team finally starting to, I think, evolve a little bit on that front. Like we talked about early in the season, he came in. Team started to have some success early with some young guys that barely played and last year, and now those guys are getting chances, and they were playing okay. They're playing really well. Had that 6-1 win against Atlanta, mm-hmm. which looks better and better as the season goes on, right?
The crew had the biggest goal differential in the league.
Yeah, partially because you had like a month where you just outscored everybody by a ridiculous margin with dudes no one had ever heard of until, I mean, unless you follow, hey, shout out to the Cappies.
Yeah.
You know, people heard of them, but you know what I'm saying. Around the league, they're not exactly – they were crew two players mm-hmm. now coming up and just shocking everyone. And we said at the time, you got to wait for the adjustment from the league, and then you have to adjust to that adjustment. And this is – now I feel like we're getting into the crew making that secondary adjustment under the new management while still knowing the system. And that's huge for this team.
I think the nicest thing, and at least what I'm enjoying the most, and I'll be interested to hear your opinion on this, is going back to the previous regime, and we knew it every single game that you're going to run the system, and you're going to run the system no matter what. It is so nice. You just used the word adjustment. It is so nice to see an adjustment into the game. If you have to change things after 15 minutes, change them after 15. If you have to change them, you can wait until halftime to get in the locker room, figure things out in those 15, 18 minutes, whatever you have in between halves. You can wait for that to happen. If you need to change things up in the 60th minute, we're going to change it because they're playing us differently and we see an area of weakness that we can do it. That, to me, is the strongest part of this team right now, is the coach's willingness to say, all right, guys, let's throw this out the window. It's not working. We need to do something else.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and I think that's where the success is coming. There's not a lot of guys who are being, so far that I can see, and it's early, right? Maybe we'll find this in a couple years. I don't see a lot of doghouses anywhere around LDC. You know what I mean? I don't see a lot of dudes who they're going to say, hey, sorry, man, you suck. You're over here now. You have 3 weeks until we'll let you be back on the field again. Like, obviously, guys are fighting for positions. There's always guys who are going to be left out of the 18, left out of the 11. But I don't feel like the vibe over there is, if I screw this up, I won't have a chance for a month. I feel like the vibe over there is, I've got opportunities and I feel like I know what to do.
And I've been given my opportunity.
I'm given the opportunity and I have the confidence of the coaching staff that even if I do make some mistakes, they're not going to just abandon me. And I think that's good. And I think that's healthy for a team that you want to hopefully win championships. The other thing I'll say about the way this team plays right now, and it has been a little while since this has been the case, what a fun team to actually watch play damn soccer, right? Yeah. They're just actually playing the game in a fun way.
Isn't that what all of us wanted?
Yeah. I mean, well, I want to win.
Yeah.
Right. And as much as Diego Simeone is not your guy, if he brings you cup after cup after cup, but your team is boring as hell,
you live
with it. Right. Yeah. You live with it. AS Roma is probably enjoying the fact that, hey, we're starting to fight for things again because Jose was there and made them extremely boring. But they were in a cup final this year, were they not?
Yeah.
I forget which competition.
They lost to Europa League final.
Yeah, that's right. Europa League final. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you elevate sometimes with coaches that make really gross play, but they still can get you championships. I'll live with it then. And by the way, it's not like the crew didn't win a championship with Caleb Porter. They did. And it's not that was always unattractive soccer. What it became was soccer that was undisciplined.
And it had run its course.
It absolutely had. And so this team, and that's why I think in part the team just didn't look like a fun team to watch last year for many stretches, because they just had lost the joy of playing this game, I think, a bit under, you know, again, in the nuance of a professional setting. Sure. I'm sure they all love playing soccer, but you know what I mean. There's teams that look like they really enjoy going after it, and there's other teams that look like they're going, ugh, here we go.
Yeah.
Got to make this game plan work. You're not getting that from this Crew team. They look like they're playing an attractive brand of soccer that is fun to watch, and they all buy into. So.
Shout out to Aiden Morris and Lucas Ellerayan, all-stars for this team.
Yes.
And it's just awesome to see Aiden get the recognition and support
well
that he
deserves.
And, I mean, he's playing the U.S. in the Gold Cup right
yeah.
now. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I will just put his name out there, too. A guy that probably should have been on that all-star team if we just weren't looking at name recognition and things like that. You know, all-star games, the all-star game roster tends to be guys who build up over a few years, and then they say, now you're an all-star. Hey, now, you're an all-star, as a matter of fact, is what they say.
It's like you saying Messi's going to be an all-star next year. I'm just guaranteeing that.
I am. But I will say Christian Ramirez probably has a good shout to at least have been like an alternate on the team or, a you know, because he's had a great year. And so I'll keep banging the drum for him because he's been awesome. Let's talk a little bit real quick, and we're going to probably – this will leak into the next segment too, but talk a little bit about a guy that I love that used to play for the Crew, Guillermo Barros Schelotto. Okay. Guillermo Barros Schelotto.
I believe the kids call him Guige.
Yes, indeed. My guy. One of the best players I've ever seen in the black and gold. He is an Argentine legend. He played for Boca Juniors for the majority of his career. And then, as you may remember, ended up being a manager in MLS for LA Galaxy. That did not go so well, which sucks for him. But I still remember him fondly as a player. I saw that Juan Román Riquelme, another
AKA
legendary.
Riquelme,
right. Yeah, I mean, this is the dude, Riquelme. If you've ever heard the name Riquelme, this
and
is.
And if you haven't, you got to fire up the Google machine and YouTube and look at him.
So Riquelme had his testimonial match. He is now, I think, in like a senior. I don't know if he's like the GM or the director of soccer,
role.
Technical.
Can you
something.
Explain to some of the fans, if they're listening to the radio, what a testimonial is?
Yeah, right. So a testimonial match is where you bring back an old player and then that old player brings back guys who played with him. And then sometimes they'll bring back current players too, who just were part of his era and maybe they were really young, but they have respect for him. And some of those guys will play. And it's basically like a glorified scrimmage where they play it in
a great send off and fans can come and give them.
Yes.
Give them the ovation for what they've done for the team.
Yes. So La Bombonera is the place where Boca Juniors plays their home soccer games, which if you never looked that place up, it's wild. I also am not sure how it's still upright because always looks like it's going to fall down at some point. But that place, they will pack it out for Boca Juniors games. They packed it out for this. Riquelme had, that whole thing filled up. And it was a bunch of guys that were his age. He's probably in his late 40s, like 45, 48, somewhere like that. A bunch of guys his age are playing there. And I'm watching this, and I'm seeing, holy, there's Guillermo right there on the field. And I figured I should have known that because they played together for a long time at Boca Juniors. They're both good friends, all these other things. But Guige was back at La Bombonera wearing the Boca Juniors colors and playing in this game, and it just gave me chills. And another guy was on the field who I saw shaking his hand and giving him like a big bow in honor. Giving Riquelme the due he deserved. Lionel Messi went up to Guige and shook his hand and was like, it's an honor to be here with you, sir. Like, I'm just telling you, I don't know if you all understand how Guige has game down in South America. Like, this guy rolls into a spot in Argentina and they don't leave him alone until he leaves.
Yeah.
Even now. So, but that crowd was there to honor Riquelme. And we'll talk a little bit more about that because I love the idea of a testimonial and I wish we did things like this in MLS. And maybe in other sports, too. Maybe that would be a good idea. But we'll get into the testimonial and some of the ideas that we have on that coming up next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
It defies description. Now back to Bone and Beam United.
Welcome back to Bone and Beam United. Talking about testimonial matches, a concept that...
pretty foreign for here.
Yeah, we don't do it. Yeah. But I know they do it in the Premier League. A lot of English soccer teams do it, and those are always fun. Testimonials are cool because they bring back all these old players that you wanted to see. And it's definitely not a competitive soccer match. If you've never watched one of these,
no.
You can go, I think on our Bone and Beam account, I tweeted out the video of Boca Juniors. Riquelme, one of my all-time favorite players, had his testimonial match at La Bombonera. And the video is like 12-minute highlight or 10-minute highlight, something like that. You watch it. I mean, these guys are just kicking the ball around. And then you know, you see Riquelme get on the ball and one of the defenders. So they had Boca Juniors play the Argentine national team, air yeah. quotes on all yeah. that. Uh-huh. And Lionel Messi's on the Argentine national team for this one, and Riquelme's on Boca Juniors. And so he gets into the box against the Argentine guys that are there, and they kind of give him a couple arm shoves, and he kind of trips over the ball. And then he gets upright and still fires it past the net and goes in. It's fun. It's not meant to be serious. And I'm quite sure the result is probably even a little staged, right? I'm quite sure they're not coming in trying to kick yeah. the guy's ass who's they're
unless
honoring.
Unless you're Nemanja Vidic, who was, I think, involved in
yes,
Michael.
Tell that
Michael,
story.
Michael, maybe Michael Carrick's testimonial at Manchester United or Paul. I think maybe Paul Scholes. One of the midfielders
right.
like
yeah.
at United, and they brought Vidic back for it. And I'm pretty sure that like Vidic, it was his first game that he had played since he retired, and went in like two leg slide tackle on Roy Keane, and they both got up like one to fight each other.
yes.
Like that's, unless you're him, you're not doing that.
Yeah, I think I do think the testimonial idea is it's fun when it's not. Yeah, we don't want anybody getting hurt. Yeah. Some of these guys are 50 plus years old. Let's calm them down. But it's just if you go watch the highlights of that, the Boca fans are cheering and chanting and singing for 90 minutes, yeah. and they don't care what's happening on the. They're just laughing and enjoying it. It's another opportunity to go. I feel like it's an opportunity to go toast one of your favorite players one last time.
Paying homage to
you, him. Yeah, you can sing and cheer for him. You can have drinks and just reminisce. You probably sit there in the stands and just go, "Oh, remember this game? Oh, yeah. remember yeah, this was his best game. No, this was his best game." I love stuff like that. So I was thinking about guys that deserve a testimonial, like for the crew or for other teams, maybe if you want to get into that. We could even go to other sports if you want to, but I have a couple guys that I would put up instantly that I think help maybe for people who don't understand this concept. I'll give you three names from the crew that I think should absolutely have a testimonial or should have had one at some point before they retired in one case. Two guys are still playing. Jonah Mensah should get a testimonial. Jonathan Mensah, I believe, would be the type of guy that had a good enough, long enough career here that he would probably deserve one.
And also embraced our city.
Yes, really. Yes. It's not just about like played well here. He was a big ambassador for the community, all those other things. Beloved by the fans. He was a captain. He led a team that won an MLS Cup. You know, that whole thing. I definitely believe Jonathan Mensah would qualify for that. And you could say the same thing probably Lucas Zelarayán at some point, right? Yeah. But Jonathan Mensah, it feels like a lot of, you know, his, I guess, the highlight of the main point, the pinnacle of his career was playing here, I feel mm-hmm. like, right? And I do feel like for Lucas Zelarayán, as much as this has been great and he's been awesome, and I would have no problem if he had a testimonial at some point, you know, this gives a guy who has been different places around the world, and maybe some of those other places are also equal. It would be hard to say, right? I don't know how he would feel about that. But Jonathan Mensah, for sure, I think would qualify for a testimonial here. Another guy who I would actually think would be great to do it for in a different sense, plays the same position, Josh Williams, who has been with this team for forever
yeah.
as like, you know, Ohio guy, yep. long time, big fan favorite. He's obviously battled some injuries the last few years, but a talented player and a guy that fans love. He would have a great testimonial match if they did one here. And certainly if nothing else, him being a part of one, if Jonathan Mensah had
one. Beloved by the community.
Yeah. Yeah. No question about it. Just an awesome dude that I would love to see get one of those. Those are two guys that would have definitely, I think, should qualify when they retire if the crew were ever going to do that.
Yeah.
A guy that is an obvious, two guys that are obvious ones that should have had one. I don't know. I mean, I don't think we ever did one of these for either of these guys. Frankie Adick should get a test, should have had a testimonial match. And boy, that would have been fun because I would have loved to see what Frankie did. He might have done a Vidic on somebody with a two-footed slide tackle.
Well, he could invite Cristiano Ronaldo to play in his testimonial.
They played against each other. Yeah.
And Ronaldo had to get swapped to the other side.
He locked him down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, Brian McBride would be one that, I mean, Brian McBride was the original face of the team, the first pick of MLS ever in the MLS draft, and then the first pick, obviously, the crew had. Yeah, no doubt about it. I think the first bona fide superstar, certainly the crew ever had, and probably the MLS ever had.
What about Pippa?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pippa's great. I would say Federico Higuain should have one of those too. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. You could schedule three of these a year.
Yeah.
I'd never get sick of them.
Yeah.
You could, I mean, I think.
Because each of them have a different flavor, like guys that they've played with in the past and different teams
yeah.
and, you know, different countries. And if you're a friend with this guy and he's played and he's gone over and you know, played in different leagues, whatever. Like, each, they would all be different, and it gives you a great reason to go down, see a beautiful stadium, drink a couple of beers, and just have a great time.
Yeah, yeah. I am a huge fan of this idea, and I hope the crew at some point, God, we've ripped off so much of world soccer culture elsewhere. Not the crew. I just mean American soccer, MLS, doing Real Madrid, you know, all
Inter
this
Miami.
Stuff. Right, like Real Salt Lake, all that crap. Like, at some point, we should adopt that one.
Yeah,
I think the testimonial is a great thing to actually adopt, because I think that actually would be a lot of fun. They used to do this kind of in baseball. They had the old timers game.
Oh, yeah.
Where they would invite from a team, they would just invite a bunch of old guys, and it wouldn't just be one match or one game. They would do it every year. You know, they have a day where, oh, it's old timers day, and they would play that game, and then they would play the real baseball game. Or maybe it was vice versa. They play the real game, and then they play that after. But fans would come out and just, hey, looky there. There's a guy that hasn't played in 20 years, right, and he's just kind of waddling around out there. But that's cool to see him out there again. It's a nice thing for the fans. I think we should do this testimonial match. In fact, the closest thing we've ever had to it that I can recall was in the height of Save the Crew. I think right after Save the Crew happened.
Yeah.
We had that match at the Ohio Historical Society where they had the Legends game.
Yep.
Where Dante Washington was there, and a bunch of the old guys came out and played. And it was so much fun. They played it on a mini pitch with like futsal net.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't a
five-a-side.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, at one point, Tom Prestes was a crew goalie. He was there playing goalie. And then Dante Washington, those guys played together. Dante's not a goalie, if you don't remember. But Dante Washington stepped into goal.
Yeah.
And then the two of them were basically having like a goalie square off where they would dribble at each other and shoot from the other side of the, it was a blast. Everybody had fun. And it was muddy and rainy. So guys were like sliding a little bit, and there were some tackles that were a little bit dicey, but it was fun.
Everybody goes,
yeah,
go in.
Yeah, it's all right. It's good. But I feel like those are some that I would have. Any other names you'd want to throw in the hopper there?
I was going to say Lucas, just for what he is currently doing with this team. I think he would be fantastic to see, but yeah, I mean, those are pretty good guys.
I mean, Lucas was, and this is true too, MVP of the game that they won MLS Cup.
Yeah.
So for sure, you could easily see doing that. I love this concept. And by the way, I could probably spend a lot more time on this, and maybe someday we should. If you don't know who Raquel May is, holy hell, yeah. Like, please go look him up.
Yeah.
Please do yourself a favor. The man was at Barcelona, and you can just find video after video of him dribbling through guys. Lionel Messi, I'm not going to say learned how to do it from him, but I'm saying
it was a big part in the learning process.
Raquel May had to be one of the big, if bands have influences, I assume Messi had, meaning from an artistic standpoint, Raquel May's artistry as a guy who could take the ball and dribble through a defense. It's Messi had to have picked something up from playing with that dude, had to have, and watching him. There's a reason why this guy broke his schedule to come down and hang out in South America with Raquel May and pay tribute. That's how important the guy is to the world game and to the best player possibly in the history of the game. So, yeah, pay homage, as I've heard. No one's has that trademark,
no.
I think. We can just use that. That'll be good. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit of Premier League soccer. There was some possible bidding war shenanigans going on in the English Premier League. We'll discuss that next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
What a moment!
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
Well, we've talked a lot on the show today about the Columbus Crew. We have talked about South American soccer, which I got to be fully honest, I wish I had more of a knowledge base of, because every time I jump into it, I always find myself enjoying what I'm watching. I enjoy seeing.
It's just a whole different beast, man.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this, man. I think I've just decided this in the last couple months that why limit myself to a favorite team in soccer? I think I'm going to end up being the guy who has a favorite team on every. I want to have one in every country in the world. You know, like I'm there. Boca Juniors, my team.
Yeah.
Sorry. Not a River Plate guy. River, go to hell. Boca River, as it said, I love that. It's one of the best rivalries of all time. And I'm squarely, even though their colors don't jive with my Ohio State Scarlet and Gray,
yes,
being blue and yellow, whatever. Me, I have a connection because of Guije, and that's enough.
Your Spanish team is Real Madrid. We do that.
Yeah, my Spanish, I'm a big fan of, you know, royalty.
Lyle,
you know that.
In France. Yeah. Big Lyle fans.
Yeah, I've got Shakhtar Donetsk in the Ukraine.
Yep.
In Ukraine, that's my guys going for Shakhtar there. So Yeah, I'm just pulling teams up left to right. Of course, I've got Sunderland in the second division in England. And this year, I have adopted Aston Villa as my first team. And I'm just saying, I need jerseys of all these teams. But I also need to go, like, Corinthians in Brazil.
Yeah.
My guys. I like that jersey. That's good. I'm with Corinthians. Let's go. I got to find others. So tell me, if you've got a team in a league that I haven't mentioned that I should be rooting for. I don't have a German team, I don't think. I kind of like Borussia Dortmund because of the colors.
Yeah.
Get me off of Borussia Dortmund. Tell me some other team I should root for. And no Bayern Munich. You're not going to.
Union Berlin.
Hey, now we're talking.
Yeah.
I need more info.
Join the Union.
That's what I want. Relegation German soccer is what I want. I want to know about Bundesliga 2. I need to really get into that. A league I can't read. I mean, I have a little passable understanding of Spanish, just meaning I can look at an article and before I hit Google Translate, I can go, I kind of see the vibe of what this is saying. Then I hit Google Translate and I go, I was way off. But German, I could be reading an article, I could look at it, and in English, I'll translate it. I'm still like, I'm not sure if I get the gist of how they're trying to phrase this. So, yeah, it's. I'm just telling you, I need to get into
more
soccer.
I speak a little bit of German.
Do you?
By the way, Union Berlin, Champions League team this year. How dare you?
What?
Yeah.
What?
How dare you?
See how little I paid attention to Germany? This is why I need a team. I got to pay attention to the Bundesliga again.
I just gave you on a platter a Champions League German team.
You know
team.
What? I take it all back. Union, you are number Union in my heart. That's what I say.
That's stupid.
So, that's so dumb. All right, let's talk about a couple teams we are very familiar with. Arsenal.
Yep.
Manchester City.
And West Ham.
And West Ham, yes. Declan Rice, mm-hmm. great player for West Ham. Knew he was going to get a big deal somewhere. Mm-hmm. The transfer fee comes in at over £100 million. Big transfer fee for Arsenal. But explain, Beamer, how there was a Manchester City connection to all this.
All right, so it's been interesting to find. And we're in the silly season. Like, window hasn't opened up yet. Officially, that opens up the next week or the week after, sometime here in the early portions of July. And, you know, teams do business in the offseason. Other players go to different places. And apparently Harry Kane's like, oh, I'm going to go over to I'm not going to go to Real Madrid, and I'm not going to go to Manchester United. I want to join Bayern Munich. So, like, that's the stories that we're getting this time of the year. And you never know what jerseys players are going to wear for the next year. But it had been, I mean, basically the entire year before Arsenal went on their run. They finished second. It was a great year for them. Like, Declan Rice knew that he was not long for West Ham. He's just maybe too good. And a shout out to West Ham. They had a fantastic year.
They did.
They won, they won the Conference League. So they won a European trophy this year. And Declan Rice was obviously a huge part of that. So Arsenal was like, yeah, we're going for Declan Rice. Like, this is going to be our guy. This is our main target in the offseason. Need a little midfield help. Declan Rice, spectacular. Good, really, really solid player. So I think Arsenal opened up the bidding somewhere in the area of like $85 million, $80 million, like already a whoa, like first offer that was already crazy. And then West Ham came back, it's like, no, that's not enough. And then Arsenal were like, how about $95 million? They came back and said, no, that's not enough. And then Manchester City, out of nowhere, after Ilkay Gundogan decides, you know what, I'm going to sign for Barcelona, I'm going to go there. So they lost a midfielder.
That did not make a lot of sense to me, that move. But another time. We'll yeah. Like that. Yeah.
So all of a sudden, City's like, well, we want to be in on Declan Rice. And, you know, Manchester City, not short of any assets to be able to go after literally whatever player that they want to go after, pay for. We're like, well, we're going to go after Declan Rice, and we're going to offer $105 million for him. And everyone's losing their minds, like, oh my God, City are going to swoop in at the last second and get Declan Rice, and how can West Ham turn this offer down, and what's Arsenal going to do? Are they going to come back at the, like, I mean, it was just nuts. It was total nutty town. And then we learned that Arsenal's final bid submitted for Declan Rice, which was accepted, was £134 million.
Oh.
First of all, major winner in this, like, throw on the red lights and everything. West Ham, congratulations to you.
Oh, my gosh, you hit the jackpot.
And £135 million. I don't think Jude Bellingham signed for that much for Real Madrid. I don't think it cost Dortmund that much to sell Jude Bellingham to Real Madrid.
Wow.
So we're paying £135 million for this guy. Good on Arsenal for saying, you know what, City, here we go, stick it. And good on Manchester City, good on all three of these teams, because I don't even think City was interested in signing this cat in the first place.
Yeah, that's one of those things where if Manchester City had managed to sign Declan Rice, they can just throw him on the pile of other tremendously talented players and say, yeah, figure if you become the best out of all of our dudes that we have in this area, great, then you can be the guy. If not, we have no problem burning $100 million on the bench if we had not that he would. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like Jack Grealish did in his first couple of years at City.
They have no problem just saying we'll stash you and wait until we need you or you improve enough or whatever to break into this group, whatever the case. And then, meanwhile, if they did that, it is also beneficial because they would have hurt Arsenal in a big way because that was a main target for one of their main rivals now. I mean, no doubt about it, Arsenal, I'm not saying that they are like equal as far as how the last 5 to 10 years have gone for those two teams, right? But Arsenal's their toughest opponent, I would say, in the Premier League right now.
There's no doubt about it. Liverpool's going through a little bit of a rebuild. Let's see what they can do. Who knows what's going to happen with United and the whole sale of the team.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on with that? Newcastle?
You
got to watch out for them.
You've got to watch out. Absolutely right.
£88.5 million was Jude Bellingham's fee.
That broke my brain.
Yeah.
That broke my brain that Real Madrid was able to sign him for more than that. So, yeah, I respect to Arsenal. I'm sure Arsenal fans are thrilled to see this.
Yeah, as you should be.
Yeah. And Manchester City, I'm sure you like the fact that they lost out on something just once, even if it wasn't something they probably needed.
I'm fine on that.
By the way, the Gundogan signing for Barcelona.
It's mind-boggling.
Good job, Barcelona, spending a lot of money on a dude who's, what, 32?
Yeah.
33? Didn't make a lot of sense, but he has been great. All right, that's it for us. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Happy Independence Day. We will see you then. It's Bone and Beam United.